Final hour coming down the home stretch. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Before we hand the baton to Stillman and Company, we're going to catch up on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com here in just a moment. But remember, you don't want to miss the Nashville's best NFL pregame show this Monday night, and it's live from the Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Join Jared Stillman along with Derek Mason and the forever Titan Chris Sanders. 5 to 7 coming up this week on the Monday night start prior to the Titans and the Bills. Our NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. So that's coming up on Monday. We're already setting the table for you throughout the show today. And one thing that we didn't get to yet today as we look ahead is Josh Gordon going to get into the plans at all? But let's catch up on a couple of texts first. Derek, first of all, I want to thank Badger alum on the text line saying, sounds like Willie's being a Wednesday morning quarterback. Okay, so he can still be a Wednesday morning quarterback even?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, Badger alum. Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, midweek, can you still be looking? I guess I am.
Uh-huh.
We've got TD from Nashville saying, if a kicker is expected to have a high 80-plus percentage rating, in other words, I mentioned this looking back on the bullet kick, overall, kickers hit about between 83 and 84% of their kicks on average. Now, that includes everything. That includes the 25-yarders as well as the 55-yarders. So specifically 47, we're estimating you should probably hit 7 or 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we talked about if you can move it in quicker or move it in closer, even just a few yards, your percentages might go up a little bit. But he says, look, if you're going to keep the kicker to that standard, the expectations of the whole team should be at that standard. Running back percentage of no fumbles needs to be high. A wide receiver's catch percentage needs to be up in the upper 80 percentile. A lineman's blocking grade needs to be high, et cetera. Yeah, so TD, I agree with that. In general, it is different, though, I think, when you're looking at the kicker in it's static, right? The ball's there. The uprights aren't moving, right? You do have the block, but it doesn't really count against the kicker if the kick is blocked, I don't think. It shouldn't anyway. But so what do you think of that principle? Obviously, every player holds themselves to a high standard.
I mean, every player wants to play at a high level. Now, with each position, it's graded differently. You know, you can have, you know, what you want. A quarterback, at least to my knowledge, has never completed 80% of his passes throughout the season.
Not for a season.
Yeah.
No. Although it's becoming more common that
you're talking
a passer
about
gets into
mid,
the 70s.
Yeah, the 70s. Yeah. But you're talking about who? The elite quarterbacks.
Yeah. And it depends on how many passes are down the field. And,
absolutely. Yeah. So every position is graded differently based on what they have to do. The kicker, because, you know, it's the variables are different than it is for everybody else. I think there's more, even though you still got to have the line block and you still have to have the ball, you know, get to you. Typically, those are the only two things that are, you know, well, and then weather. Those are the only two things that are out of your control. You know, it's not like, oh, the defense they're playing in. We don't care what defense you're playing. We're just kicking the ball through the uprights. We don't care who's in the game. We're just kicking the ball through the uprights on the defensive side of the ball. Whereas from an offensive standpoint and a defensive standpoint, you got to count those things as being factors on what you do, the probability that it works, and everything else. But the kicker, and again, I couldn't do it. You know, if you line me out there to kick a 10-yard field goal, more than likely I'm going to miss more than I make because that's not my job. I don't practice that every day. But just like a golfer and, you know, his swing or her swing or putting, there's a level or percentage that you need to be at.
That's where I got the 83%.
Yeah.
That is, and the kicker's almost their own worst enemy because they've gotten so much better collectively over the years. Back in the day where you had the straight-on kickers, those guys were barely making 50% the best guys. And then Jan Stenerud came along, mm-hmm. right? We're going way, way back. But if you go from all the toe ballers, mm-hmm. right, then the gradual change to the soccer-style kick, the refinement, every 5 to 10 years you see an see the bar raise and guys just make a higher percentage. So right now the league average is about 83%. That's where I get that number from. It's not just something I pulled out of thin air, so I hope TD gets that. So Randy Bullock, you know, you got to make the key kicks at the key time.
Well, yeah,
he missed one. You know,
because
so
that's your,
hopefully the next time he's got
to
make the kick.
I go back to you. That's your job. That's your only job. Like, the guys have done the hard work. And again, I couldn't be a kicker. You know, it's just that wasn't in the cards for me. Kicking wasn't in the cards for me. But the guys that are on the field, the 11 that are on the field, they're doing their job. They're doing their part, putting you in a position to kick a field goal. Now it's up to you. You've told Vrabel, listen, this is where I want the ball at. I feel comfortable in between this yardage and this yardage. So if you can get it to where I want it, then I'm good. Well, okay. Well, Vrabel did exactly what you wanted him to do. There was no rain. Well, there was some, but not at that moment. There was no rain. There was no, like, high winds. The snap was good. The place was good. The placement was good.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job.
Gotta do
is that
job.
Hard to say? Like, do your job.
No, but you're just always looking for what you could. I think that's a good approach by everybody. It's like, what could I do? So I understand where TD's coming from. Hold yourself to the high standard, too. Don't put it all on the kicker. So it's all a blend of everything. Coy in Clarksville texts in on our text line. Mm-hmm. I hope Kyle Phillips can become our Cooper Kupp. He has the similarities. Do you agree?
No, he doesn't have similarities as Cooper Kupp. Only similarities have is that they both are, you know, fair-skinned. That's it. That's all. That's the only similarities is the color of their skin. Everything else, no. Cooper Kupp, there's a reason Cooper Kupp had 1,900 yards. Because Cooper Kupp is an elite receiver. Kyle Phillips is a good receiver. Will he ever become an elite receiver? I'm not going to say never is never. I'm not going to say he never will. But
Coop has improved a lot over the course of his career.
But Coop was a good – Phillips was a good receiver at UCLA as well.
Yeah.
But Cooper Kupp was a good receiver as well. And he elevated his game. And you saw it
he played
each
year. They featured this on the Thursday night. Like, he played at the small college.
Exactly.
Right? He was not a big-time guy.
He wasn't a big recruit.
Yeah, not at all.
And
so he's like a self-made player.
I think he
player.
Was at Washington State.
Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington, yes. And he made a name for himself. You know, and went to the right team with the right scheme, and look at him now. But you can see the greatness in Cooper Kupp and what he does after the catch. He catches the ball as if it's just a walk in the park. He doesn't struggle with anything that he does. And that offense is tailor-made for him.
They run it perfect for him.
This offense in Kyle Phillips isn't Cooper Kupp and doesn't look like Cooper Kupp. Could he be a good player in his offense? Absolutely. Could he make, you know, big catches for them? Absolutely. He started this past Sunday. That catch on the sideline was a huge catch for him and a big confidence booster. So I believe moving forward, he will be a guy that's catching, you know, 5, 6, 7 balls a game.
Real quick before we go to Buffalo, are you hoping? Because I'm going to say that I am. Maybe we'll get a glimpse of this in the next coming days. I'd like to see Josh Gordon get into the plans this week. Is it time for him? If he's going to do it, if he's making progress, should he be active on Monday?
If you see that he's making progress, that he's picking up the playbook, because, listen, he's only been here, 2 weeks, going on 3 weeks? Well, it's probably been 3 weeks he's been here because they got him right the last cut. So it had a week before, yeah, 2 weeks before they played an actual game. So this would be 3 weeks for him going on 4. If he's shown that he's picked up enough of the offense where you can put him in packages just like you do Treylon Burks, then he needs to be active because Vrabel talked about it, and it's not something that I'm just making up. He's big. He's fast. He has a huge catch radius. Why not have him in the game? I would rather have him if he has picked up on offense. But I'd rather have him in the game than Coley Hollister. You know, I'd rather it be.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Hollister did make a contribution.
Exactly. But Hollister did make a contribution. But I'm saying, if you're asking who I prefer Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kyle Phillips, and Josh Gordon. That looks better than last week.
Mm-hmm. That would be something that I think would be of intrigue to watch for in the next coming days. Does Josh Gordon get into the plans? It's time. I think he's been there long enough. If he's going to make it, you would hope that he's at least going to be on the radar by Monday. But we'll see. When we come back, we'll go up to Buffalo, talk to Howard Simon from WGR. And then at the bottom of the hour, it'll be our daily trivia question. We'll tell you about the prize that you can win as well. Stay tuned. This is Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Willie Donick and former Titan receiver, NFL great Derek Mason here with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Stillman and company poised and ready to go at 2 o'clock. Trivia at the bottom of the hour at 1:30 for a concert coming up at the Ryman, and that will be Jim Jeffries on October the 8th. So that's our prize tonight. So get ready to go at 1:30 for that. In the meantime, as we promised you, let's bring on Howard Simon from WGR Radio up in Buffalo. Times are good right now for the Bills. They look great in week one, and they will be taking on the Titans on Monday night. First of all, Howard, thank you very much for joining us, and I wanted to pass along our thanks for you coming on. And it was Pete Weber that was our scout. We said, Pete, we need a guy from Buffalo, and he mentioned you, and I know you go way back with him.
Pete's awesome. Pete's the best. I was just talking to him a couple weeks ago. I've never met another human being who stores as much knowledge, remembers as many stats or stories, and has them at a fingertip in my entire life.
Yep, that's Pete. No doubt about it. He is the man when it comes to that stuff. He can go over plenty of Bills history. So, Howard, times are good for the Bills. How can they even, like, what are they worried about up there? They were so good in the first game on Thursday. What's on their mind?
Well, what's on their minds? Yeah, I mean, in terms of what to fix in that game, there wasn't a lot. I mean, they turned the ball over, but their offense was still really good. I'll tell you what's on their minds. First, it's a tough schedule. The toughest part of the Bills' schedule, if you want to talk about the division, the conference, and all that, and the high expectations here, we're in the first half of the schedule, this is the most difficult part. So I think there's a little bit there. I'm sure some Bills fans are counting down the days until Trey White returns. Their number one cornerback, one of their best players on defense, is missing the first four games of the season. So they're playing some young corners, guys, for this matchup Monday night, including two rookies who are rotating in one of the starting spots. So I think that, you know, stuff like that, nobody get injured, maybe Josh Allen don't run as much as you do. That's some of the stuff we've been talking about.
We've been talking about this, Howard, how the Bills really don't go at you with a lot of volume of handoffs, but the Titans just got gashed by Saquon Barkley, and we were just wondering if that plants a seed at all for the Bills, but they're so good at doing what they do, why would they change?
I'd hope they wouldn't. I think you hit it. What are you good at? This team is a pass-first football team. It has very dangerous weapons. They don't really have a dynamic running back who you'd really be afraid of. Devin Singletary is a good running back. Zach Moss is a limited-use guy, and he just fumbled in the opener, so people are a little down on him. There's a running back by the name of James Cook, who's a rookie who we're pretty excited about up here, but he fumbled and only got three snaps the other night. They don't have a guy who's going to go out there like Saquon Barkley. They have Stephon Diggs. They have Gabe Davis. They have Isaiah McKenzie. They have Jameson Crowder. They have Dawson Knox. They've got weapons in their passing game, and they have Josh Allen. But when they run, they just want to be effective, but I wouldn't expect them to change anything from their plan.
We'll talk with Howard Simon, co-host of WGR in Buffalo, their morning show. Now, Howard, they change offensive coordinators. They go from Daboll to Ken Dorsey. Was that deliberate? Did they want to keep someone in-house to run, you know, ultimately the same offense that Josh Allen is used to?
Absolutely. I think that was a big, well, actually for a couple of years, guys, it's been a big offseason story here. Would Brian Daboll leave, that, you know, off the success of the Bills offense and Josh Allen? And I think keeping Ken Dorsey, Sean McDermott believes in a number of different things, including the importance of continuity. So if you're going to lose the offensive coordinator, the main play caller with Josh Allen, since he got here, you'd like to have the guy who has been in the room the whole time as well as the quarterback coach, Ken Dorsey. And he's never called the plays before. Opening night, he looked fine. He did fine, I think. He's never called the plays before, but he worked with Brian Daboll. You know, he was on the staff in Carolina with Mike Shula. So he's been around offensive coordinators. They've got four guys on the coaching staff for the offense who have offensive coordinator experience. So I think it was very important to keep Dorsey and to make sure that relationship with Josh Allen and now the play caller, Ken Dorsey, continued.
Now, has there been much talk? Because the last time these two teams went head up, I think Derrick Henry had over 140 or 50 yards, and he broke off a really long one that ultimately had the Titans winning the game. Has there been a lot of talk about that game in particular this week?
Well, there's been talk about the last two games with the Titans. Mm-hmm. It's become a little bit of a rivalry, right, for teams that aren't in the same division, at least from the perspective of fans up here. So, yeah, there was talk about that game. Fans might remember more of Josh Allen slipping at the end of the game. The game 2 years ago that had a lot of crazy stuff going on.
The schedule switch. For people that may have forgotten, the Bills, I don't think were very happy that they had to play the game. Of course, the Titans had gone about a week and a half without being able to gather because they had the outbreak in 2020. So that was a bizarre one, and nobody would have thought the Titans would have been as sharp, and they blew out the Bills. So I'm sure that still stinks.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't think, to Derek's point, I don't think it's a lot about Henry, because you know what? If you look at their matchups, guys, mm-hmm. prior to last season Henry killed him, he had the big run, right? Prior to last season, they did a pretty good job of limiting Derrick Henry. He didn't have those massive runs like he did last year. So I think there's less talk about that. It's a pretty good defense. You know, I think it got better against the run, too, as opposed to last year's group, especially in the middle and defensive tackle. I think they're bigger and stronger than they were last year. So I don't think people are talking about it as much as overall, you know, beating Tennessee, wanting to get to 2-0, because, like I said, there's a big game coming up in week 3 in Miami. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City follow this.
Now, you have Stephon Diggs and then the emergence of Davis, who had mm-hmm. a big game also last week. Now, this passing attack, they were good all last season. But now that, you know, after that 4-touchdown game that Davis had, and now he's picked up where he left off, this, I can see why, watching that first game, how just methodical that Bills passing game was, because now Josh Allen feels that not only does he have a Stephon Diggs on the outside, but he has Davis, another big body guy that can stretch the field as well.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's looked good since he got here, and he's had a limited role his first 2 years because of a numbers game. John Brown was here. Cole Beasley was here. Last year, Emmanuel Sanders was here. But you could see in limited action, the kid, he's talented. He's got really good routes. He's good at separating. He can also make catches in traffic. He's got a really good pair of hands. He's fantastic on sideline catches and keeping feet in. He comes up with big catches. Remember the playoff game in Kansas City last year? Please don't bring up 13 seconds, by the way, or home run throwback. I still haven't gotten over it. I was on the field that day covering the game. He's really good, guys. Diggs is the guy you want to stop. You know that. Mm-hmm. But Gabe Davis, people here are expecting like a 1,000-yard season from him in year number 3 because he finally has been elevated to more of a full-time role in the offense.
We're talking to Howard Simon from WGR up in Buffalo. Howard, I'm just curious. I mean, I've always admired the Bills fans because even during times that were tough, they've got tremendously loyal fans. It's not a huge market. So I'm wondering what it's like now on this uptick that they've been waiting for so long. You've got the great quarterback. Yeah. It's all coming together. So what's it like to cover them now?
It's great. I can't tell you guys how much fun it is. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure. I'll bet neither one of you experienced a 17-season playoff drought.
It's tough.
No. Yeah. So, I mean,
it makes you take for granted sometimes that you've made the playoffs a few times because that's a heck of a drought.
Right, and that's why I think this is incredibly special. Now, what's different this year is this team has legitimate Super Bowl expectations. Basically, everybody up here, if you talk to a Bills fan anywhere in the country, they'll tell you they should have beat Kansas City. They would have come home beating Cincinnati. They probably would have said they would have beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. If they didn't, Thursday's game, they would have said they'd beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. So this season's completely different. This season, there hasn't been anything like this, the feeling, in 30 years. Now, for me, I experienced it. For the older fans, they experienced it, and they're in the, this is the way it used to be here. This is really fun. It's a great neighborhood to be in. Let's really enjoy it. The younger crowd guys, either they weren't born or they just didn't appreciate the early 90s team. So they're experiencing these last few years and they're experiencing this kind of buzz about the Bills for the first time. So it is a lot of fun to cover this team right now.
But not only do, you know, obviously we don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to just mention it because I want to mention something else. Not only do we have the Music City Miracle in common, the Bills versus the Titans, but also the Titans wanting a new stadium and then the Bills wanting a new stadium. Where is the talk set in regards to their new stadium?
Everything seems to be going along smoothly at this. I mean, most everything's been approved. They're still working out some things. I don't think it's, like, derailing it. So if everything goes according to plan, maybe 2026, if not 2027, they'll be in the new stadium. And they need it. The question was, you know, how expensive and who's paying for it. But, you know, the facility they've been in is approaching 50 years old, and it's taken hundreds of millions of dollars in renovations, and the upper deck is on its last leg. So they really needed to get a new place.
Howard, this has been great stuff. We knew you would get the job done. Pete's scouting report was right on, but we do have to ask the question. I know you're very professional, but have you done the swan dive into the picnic table for a tailgate?
Never.
Never. Okay.
If you guys knew how old I was and saw what shape my body was in, you would agree with me not doing that anytime soon. Derek can do that. I'm not going to do
that. I still wouldn't do it. That's why, you know, I take my hat off to Bill Mafia, man, because those fans are crazy.
It really is. It's a great group, guys.
Boy, Monday night, home opener, my goodness. There's going to be a lot of tables that go down, I would think.
It's going to be electric. People were jacked up about that anyway. Then you throw in the Rams opener. I think it's going to be nuts up here.
Just don't remind everyone. Just don't leave your grill on, okay?
Oh, my God.
Make sure all grills are off, okay, when you're going to the stadium. Goodness.
All right. I'll make sure we post signs or something.
Exactly.
extra warning. Howard, great stuff. Thanks a lot for your perspective. Enjoy the game on Monday. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure, guys. You have a good day.
All right. That's Howard Simon, WGR up in Buffalo. Good stuff on what's happening up there. Must be fun right now for the Bills fans. They're feeling pretty good. When we come back, we'll have our trivia question. Maybe we'll have a little Bills-Titans flavor to it, and we'll see who wins our tickets today. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Where is the suit? That is the question. What's he doing at this moment? He's in the building. He's not on the show.
No.
Suit duties. In fact, we looked at the suit's office today, right? Yeah. And we thought that there was something missing there.
He needs a secretary.
Yeah. He's a
busy man. He needs, when you walk into his office, because there's like his you know, a little area, then you got to walk into his office. He needs to have an assistant that when you walk into his office, they say, excuse me, are you here to see Mr. McCabe? Mr. Suit? Yeah, I need that. Well, I'm looking at his schedule. He's not available until June of 2023.
So, he did have a big board. There's a big board in there that's got every
date
for the next 3 years, I think. So he's got a tight schedule, man.
Exactly.
You're trying to find some time to talk to the suit. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Here on 102.5 The Game, it's time for our daily trivia question, and we've got a nice prize for you. Any show is great at the Ryman, but this particular one, you'll have two tickets, October the 8th, to see Jim Jeffries at the Ryman, if you can answer today's question. Now, we just talked to Howard Simon, really fun interview up in Buffalo. He said, don't go there, in the Music City Miracle, but Derek couldn't resist to sneak it in there. You snuck it in there
just a little bit.
You didn't rub it in that bad. But here is the question today, and we're going to do this on the air. We're going to put the pressure on you. You cannot text in the answer. you got to call. And we're going to do daily trivia during the 1 o'clock hour all the time here. So daily trivia, be ready for it every day at this time. So make it an appointment to see if you can win here. We want to test you. 615-737-1025. Now, here's the thing about the Music City Miracle game. We know in the backdrop there was the whole thing. In fact, Derek, I'll ask you. When the word came out that they were going to switch from Doug Flutie to Rob Johnson, of course, you know, you're playing offense, you're scouting the Bills even. Did that surprise you? I just remember being really – I was a huge Doug Flutie fan. He went 10-5 as a starter, but they made the switch for the playoff game.
Yeah, because originally Rob Johnson was the starter, and he ended up getting hurt, I believe.
Yep.
And Flutie came in, and Flutie was electric. He was like Kyler Murray, but better. He was Drew Brees, but not as good. But he knew how. He was a guy small in stature. He knew how to work the pocket. He knew how to, even at 6 foot, he knew how to find the open receivers, and he delivered. You know, he was in sync with everything, and. You know, that was the best thing that Buffalo could have ever done was not star Doug Flutie. But they did end up bringing him in the game. And that's when they started to mount their comeback. Was it that game?
No, they never brought him in.
No, it was another game Flutie came in later in the year, like when we played him again some other time.
It was interesting. They went with Johnson. Johnson, you could say, you know, put him in position to win the game. They got down there. They took the field goal by Steve Christie to put him ahead. That set the stage for the Music City Miracle. So Johnson, I mean, if you're Wade Phillips, you could at least say, look, my guy had me right there. If we didn't have the miracle,
but
we would have won the game.
But he was pedestrian the whole game. I mean, he didn't play a great game.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
And so you wonder what if. Mm-hmm. That's a what if. What if Doug Flutie had started that game? But here's today's question. Jump in. 615-737-1025. Because of that, Flutie did not ever regain the main starting job for the Bills. The following year, he only started 5 games, and then the next year he was on a different team altogether. What team did Doug Flutie move on from when he left the Bills after that whole Rob Johnson controversy? He played for this team from 2001 to 2004, ages 39 through 42. What team did Doug Flutie move on to from the Bills? 615-737-1025.
You can't text it in either. Can't text the answer in. Got a call.
Got a call.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Doug Flutie went from playing in the NFL after he won the Heisman Trophy at Boston College in the 80s. Then he went from 1990 to 97.
In the U.S.
Played in the Canadian. CFL. Yeah, in the CFL. And he was maybe the greatest player in the CFL during that time. I think you could probably make that argument. He was the best player in the league, and you just thought, well, that's going to be a nice little career for Doug Flutie. But then at age 36, he comes back to Buffalo.
Did he and a missile play together?
In the CFL. Yeah, Rocket Ismail?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I feel like that's true. I'd have to go look.
Was it Argonauts? Was it Toronto?
He played for 3 different teams. He played for the BC Lions, Calgary Stampeders, and then the Argonauts.
Argonauts. That's where they may have.
They might have. I know Rocket Ismail was a great player in the CFL, for sure.
Absolutely. He was. Was he runner-up in the Heisman? His senior year on
that Notre Dame team.
Notre Dame team, yeah.
Might have been. He was in the mix.
Yeah.
He was right there, but he didn't win it.
No, he didn't.
Trying to remember
it.
Who would have won it in during those years where he was putting up the great numbers at Notre Dame. 88, 89.
Because he was Desmond Howard before Desmond Howard. He was the guy that was, you know,
just
doing
the
all
game
these
changer.
Because he was after Tim Brown. He was after Tim Brown. Yeah, but Tim was great.
Tim won the Heisman.
Tim was great now, but the Rockets just was different. He was faster, even though Tim was fast, but he was just a different. He was a different dynamic player than Tim Brown was.
All right. Do we have contestants next? 615-737-1025.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of them calling in.
Okay. Yes. I can't see the text line. Okay.
Yeah. I got you.
All right. Who's our first contestant?
We are going to throw in Michael. Michael, you are on the show.
All right, Michael. Are you ready?
Yes.
Doug Flutie left the Bills to go to what team after the whole fallout from the Music City Miracle?
I believe it was San Diego.
San Diego is correct. The San Diego Chargers.
The Chargers.
Now, for bonus points.
Now, had you said the L.A. Chargers, would not have been wrong, technically, yes. No, I'm just about to switch it.
All right, bonus points here. He started every game for the Chargers in 2001 and then ended up becoming their backup. But he went to a different team to end his career in 2005 at age 43. Do you remember what team he finished his career with?
I don't know. Flutie.
Jones. Washington?
It wasn't Washington. I'll give you a hint. He finished his career by making a drop kick. Remember they put him in for the drop kick? Mm. And he actually executed it and kicked it through the uprights for an extra point.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I just can't remember the team.
I don't know why I'm thinking Minnesota, but that was Jeff. No, that wasn't Jeff George that went to Minnesota ultimately at the end. Yes, it was.
It was the New England Patriots.
Did he go to New England?
Bill Belichick put him in there to do the drop kick. Yeah, he was backing up. I can't remember who their quarterback was. I mean, it was Brady, obviously, was the man. But I don't know if he was the second string or the third string. I'm trying to remember.
What year was that?
2005. He didn't appear very much for them. He was 5 for 10
who was
on the
backup?
Season. Yeah. I don't know if they needed a backup. They had Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
But he did connect on the drop kick. But well done. We're going to put you on hold. Congratulations on winning today's trivia question.
Oh, wow.
So he went to the Chargers.
I wouldn't have guessed that one. I'm trying to picture him.
And I feel if I've got my time right, that would have been when Breeze would have taken over for the Chargers before he then went to the
Saints. What year
was
that again?
2001, Flutie started every game for the Chargers. And then after that, I think is when Breeze came in, if I remember correctly. And Flutie was backing up for a while.
Okay.
Quite the career, quite the events for Doug Flutie. One of a kind.
He sort of took the Warren Moon approach, Warren Moon's path to the NFL. You know, because Warren Moon tore it up in the CFL and then came to the NFL, and Warren is a Hall of Famer now.
Yep.
Well, Flutie tore it up in the CFL and was really good. Not Hall of Fame, but really good in the NFL.
And he had to wait a long time. He was older. Now, remember, he did get a taste of the NFL right out of college. Mike Ditka threw him in there for a playoff game, and he just wasn't ready. He was young. It was controversial. Ditka just really thought he would get the job done just magically like he always had in his career. Didn't go well. Then he ended up on the Patriots and on some bad Patriots teams in the late 80s. And then the next thing you know, he's in the CFL. You didn't hear from him for a long, long time. All right. That's our nostalgic segment for the week. When we come back, we will come down the home stretch, look ahead to Stillman & Company, tell you what's happening on their show. And let me tell you first about QC Kinetics as we get things cranking here. QC Kinetics has got that cutting-edge stuff that you're looking for. If you've had the joint pain and you're trying to prolong your career like Doug Flutie and play for a long, long time, hey, listen to Emmett Smith and the people giving you the news about QC Kinetics. Listen to me. I've been telling you about them for a while. They've got that cutting-edge stuff, regenerative medicine. It's new. It's exciting. It is not traditional. They have no drugs, no downtime involved, no surgery involved. What it is, they use highly concentrated healing properties from your own body to restore and repair damaged joint tissue. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in this exciting breakthrough natural approach to eliminating joint pain. So don't assume that the traditional ways of dealing with joint pain are the only ways. So find out more about QC Kinetics right here in town. You get a free consultation. Don't put it off. Call 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. That's 615-249-4024. Hey, don't forget to tune in to Sunday's NFL Games of the Week here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. The first game will be the Patriots and the Steelers. That's coming up at noon, followed by the Bengals against the Cowboys. NFL Games of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. The Cowboys, without Dak Prescott, play the Bengals. Now, you talk about two teams that had some wacky things happen in the first week. The Bengals are still trying to figure out what the heck happened in their game. That game was crazy. But they're 0-1, Dallas 0-1, so a couple hungry teams. What do you think, Dallas, can they hang on? Like, if you feel like Prescott could come back at some point, let's say it's 6 to 8 weeks, let's even go on the short side. They seem to be optimistic. Let's say it's five more games. Can they survive?
Dallas fans hope that they can survive, even though if you check out social media, Dallas is, their season is already over based on social media. So they believe that, you know, their backup Cooper Rush can come in, and hopefully if Dak is only going to miss at most four games, then depending on what their next four opponents look like, they feel they can, you know, still stay above, you know, above water. They have, they have Cincinnati coming up, the Giants, Washington, and the Rams. So I'm sure they're thinking, if we can just, you know, Giants and Washington, if we can win those two games, then we should be fine if Dak does come back week five, which is week six, versus Philadelphia.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
If he could be back for that.
They're going to need him back because they would have already played three divisional games, the Giants, Washington, up until that point, and then Philadelphia would be dead third.
Now, remember, too, they have not put him, as of today, on IR, so they think he could be back before that, but we'll see. I wonder.
Well, they need
if
him
they're
on
overly
stretch.
Optimistic. I mean, he's got to be able to grip it and throw it the way he needs to. So you have all this action going on in Vegas. As a result of this, here's one of the props that's out there right there. Will Cooper Rush start every game that Dak Prescott is out? Because there's all this speculation. You know, who's out there, right, for this situation? Jimmy G. Right, but you have salary cap. You'd have to trade for him. I'm very curious if Jimmy G ends up quickly, because that's another prop bet in Vegas right now. You can get odds on, will Jimmy G start a regular season game for the 49ers? Not injury related, because remember what happened? Trey Lance kind of laid an egg in his first game. So, you know, just like we speculated weeks ago, if he's on the team, Jimmy G, and you're sitting there looking at, they've won a lot of games with this guy, Trey Lance is struggling, how much time do you give the youngster?
Listen, you have to ride with him until you can't no more, because this is Kyle Shanahan's hand-picked guy, you know, Trey Lance. This is the guy that he wants to be the leader of this franchise moving forward. So you did all of this to get Trey Lance, and, you know, Jimmy G played good last year, not great, but with Jimmy G underneath center, you know, you're more likely to go to the playoffs. Well, you know, Kyle Shanahan said, listen, nah, Trey Lance is my quarterback. So with that being said, I think he holds on to Trey Lance for as long as he possibly can, because if you don't, if you now go to Garoppolo, the man's confidence is shot. It's done. To me it is, because you were named the starter. You couldn't cut it. They had to go back to the original starter. That is a confidence killer.
You're talking about a team that has really high expectations,
exactly,
too. And so that is something to watch for sure. It's so much so that here's another prop bet from our man Jimmy Shapiro, who we always sends me the stuff on these prop bets. And so many people tell you, don't do the prop bets. It's just not good odds. Your chances of winning are really slim. but you can see the intrigue in some of these things. How about this? First quarterback to be benched, non-injury related. That's a prop bet you can get right now. Mitch Trubisky is number one at odds 2-1. Trey Lance is number two at 9-2. And then number three, Ryan Tannehill. Come on.
What? I mean, that, seriously?
That's a waste. Five to one odds. That's a waste of time.
Don't even make that bet.
No. Yeah. Why would you do that? Five to one.
The man is not getting benched. From, you know, judging from his past, he's not going to play that bad with a Titans. Say, you know what? We're going to bench you and go with the rookie Malik Willis.
Carson Wentz is 20-1. I would think that there's way more scenarios that he could get benched than Ryan Tannehill at this point. And who? It's not like the Titans have the guy ready. Like, they don't have Jimmy G sitting there.
That's why
they're not ready.
These are sucker bets. Man.
Sucker bets. Yes,
that's what they are.
I agree. How about this? First coach to get fired. The odds right now. Who do you think is at the top of the list?
Odds wise, top of
again.
The
take
list.
It with a grain of salt because we really disagree with some of these odds.
Boy. I would Chicago's coach, but he just got there. They just won. I'm trying to think. Like,
well,
who could? Not is nobody in the Indianapolis coach. Frank Reich
is up there. He's nine. Frank Reich. He is 9-1, but would you believe that Mike Vrabel is also 9-1?
Seriously?
Reich, I can understand how you come up with that. Vrabel at 9-1, which is tied for the fourth highest odds in the league to get fired first or resign. Come on. That's ridiculous. Mike Vrabel is not getting fired. Yeah. He's not resigning. He will not. It's not going to happen.
Is it Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury is 5-1. There are two above him.
Wow.
Mike McCarthy at 7-2. Just because people don't like him. And it's the Cowboys.
The Dallas, exactly.
And he's in the pressure cooker. Dak Prescott is injured, so McCarthy is number one. Number two is Matt Rhule.
At Carolina.
So game one, they had in the palm of their hand, and the guy smoked the field goal and made a hero out of the Browns. So that'll do it for us today. We're back at it full strength tomorrow. The suit will be back. We'll have underdogs at noon. Andrew Marinus will join us on the show tomorrow. We'll have our daily trivia question. We're going to do it all as we get set for the weekend. Coming up, Stillman and Company from right here in our studio. Stay tuned to 102.5 The Game.
We out.